The first reading for the festival of the Reformation is from the Revelation to St. John, the 14th chapter. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by a law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. These words serve as our sermon text. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Understood as the sum of all believers, the church has always been in need of reformation. St. Paul reminds us, "But be transformed by the renewal of your minds, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Reformation begins with repentance, which consists of contrition and faith. The first of Luther's 95 theses that he nailed to the church door in Wittenberg stated, "Our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, when he said repent, willed that the whole life of believers should be repentance." Such a notion would run contrary to what people might think of as Reformation today. Some pulpits in our nation resound with calls for world peace, or that long sought after peace in the Middle East, justice, or an end to violence in our homes and in our streets. Or then, of course, there are those churches that have completely discarded the Word of God and adopted a hedonistic feel-good, do what seems right to you theology. What has happened to simply and clearly proclaiming the truth of God's word? Some people are very vocal in the notion that the Christian church must reform itself and be liberated from all restraints. Still others think that the church must conform itself to the world instead of being God's transforming power that brings life from death and the forgiveness of sins. Some see the structures and institutions of the church as being unnecessary because they prohibit the freedom to do what they want instead of seeking by God's grace to walk in the truth of his word. The Jews who had believed in him after Jesus had identified himself as the Messiah quickly changed their minds when they heard our Lord's explanation of what it meant to be his disciple. The words of Jesus bring life and salvation. The church, meaning people who have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, are always in need of reformation, which begins with repentance for our sins. As we consider that gospel lesson from John 8, this morning, we rejoice in the fact that we have life through his word, which is our theme. My fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus. Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples and you will know the truth. The picture of Jesus as the hero Messiah is by no means limited to the Jewish audiences of his day. Many Christians also think of Jesus as nothing more than a model for social, economic, or political reform. The pious Jews of Jesus' day believed that the mark of the Messiah was to be the restoration of the kingdom to Israel. Just prior to his ascension back to heaven, Jesus was asked by his disciples, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus responded, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. Our Lord Jesus had to continually correct the mistaken notion of why he had come into this world. Some today take Jesus and make him the chief crusader for their particular cause and miss the entire reason that Jesus came into this world, to save people from their sins. Jesus came because, like it or not, we sometimes have other gods in our lives. It could be the god called money. It could be the god called sports. It could be a god called power and control. It could be the god called self. God's word tells us the truth about ourselves. And you know what? You and I don't like to hear that. Because the law always accuses and convicts us. The Word of God is the truth. The Word of God is all about Jesus. Hear what his Word says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then Jesus also said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. Let us never forget that what is not of the truth is a lie and is of the devil. Of the devil, Jesus said, you are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. The simple fact is that not one of us here likes to hear the truth about our sins. But unless the law of God kills us, the gospel has nothing to resurrect. The salvation that we have is never of our own doing, but solely through the work of Christ Jesus on the cross in our place. Jesus says in our text, the truth shall make you free. This is not just any truth, but it is the truth of God's word. Jesus Christ come in human flesh and born of the Virgin Mary. Of Jesus we confess, the only begotten Son of God, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures. How does Jesus make us free? He did it by redeeming us from the judgment of God, which was upon us because of our sins. In Ezekiel, it says, the person who sins will die. Paul says the wages of sin is death. That is the truth. Forgiveness of sins is what Jesus earned through the shedding of his blood, the giving of his life, and ultimately his death. That victory is announced on Easter morning. He is not here. He is risen. The Bible says of Jesus' work, so then as through the one transgression, there resulted condemnation to all people, even so through the one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all people. For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. Even so, through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. In our baptism, we were brought into God's family we call the Holy Christian Church. As his church, we gather together in the divine service to receive the gifts of God. Jesus gives us his body and blood in the Lord's Supper for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. And you know, as we leave these confines each Lord's week, we go out into a world that is hostile toward Christianity. I think about it every Sunday as I drive here and I drive down the street. And you know, I don't see a lot of other people hopping in their cars and driving off to a church. It would be interesting to know how many people in our community of 150,000 or so actually darken a church doorway on a weekend. I think we would be surprised how few it really is. As we continue in his word, both the preached and the written, Jesus forgives us our sins, and he keeps us living in the freedom of knowing that we have eternal life. It says in 1 John 5, and the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. We rejoice this day and every day in the promises of God given to us in and through Christ Jesus. If therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. We live in this hope because of Jesus' work in our behalf, and we have life through his word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.